Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I am very excited to introduce you to our guest today. So I have the co-founders of my lab. I have Laura and Ursula. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you.
How are you? Great to be on the show.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you. So my lab is, well, why don't you just describe what exactly is it that you do for people?
Sure, I can answer that. This is Ursula. So my lab is essentially an online service that allows users to test for STDs in just a matter of minutes from home.
Very handy. So the testing from home in a matter of minutes, you mean you get your result in a matter of minutes, or the test itself takes a matter of minutes?
The test itself takes a matter of minutes, and you get some results in a matter of minutes and some results in a matter of a few days.
Okay. So how many different things are we screening for here?
Four. So we test for three of the most common infections plus HIV.
Okay. And what are those?
So it's chlamydia, gonorrhea, trich, and HIV.
Okay. It's interesting. I don't really hear people talk about trich a whole lot, but it is still evidently fairly common. Is it a fairly common diagnosis for someone to end up getting as a result of a test that you do for them?
Yes, actually. I mean, it's the number three most common infection. So it is peculiar why a lot of testing services don't offer it. And we are one of the few and one of the only, especially in the online space, to offer it.
So I'm curious about the experience, like, of using this. So let's just say that, you know, I'm nervous that I might have been exposed to something, or I just haven't gotten tested in a while or whatever. And how do I go about doing this? Like, is this going to be something that's painful? Is it invasive? Like, what all is involved?
So from the user perspective, it's a very simple online shopping experience. Ultimately, you would go online. Let's say if you fear that you have been exposed, you will visit our website and you will purchase a box to get tested. Once you order the box, within about 1 to 3 days, it will arrive to your doorstep. It will be very discreet. Nobody will know from your neighbors what you purchased. It will be just your standard parcel from any online store. And inside, you will find a very friendly kit with instructions of how to run the tests. The HIV kit is a rapid kit, so you will be able to do this at home just with a saliva swab. And within 20 minutes, you will have your result. For everything else, we have a very basic and easy-to-use kit where you collect a small sample, either of urine or, again, a swab, and you just mail it into our lab for processing. So the whole process from purchase online to your results should take about 3 to 7 days turnaround max for the pieces that are sent to the lab. Your results are always delivered digitally online in a very secure portal that we have designed specifically for that. So you can access them right away. There's no need to wait. There's no number to call into. There's no need to kind of hover over the phone anticipating a phone call from your doctor. So we've really tried to make this as user-friendly, as simple as possible. And the last piece we really encourage users to understand is that diseases have incubation periods. So even though you might have had a scare yesterday and you maybe were exposed a week ago, a lot of these conditions take, you know, sometimes up to 3 months to show up in your system. So really the only way to be safe on an ongoing basis is to test frequently. So we have also designed a couple of packages that allow you to save while also making sure that you screen every 6 or 4 months, which are kind of the optimized frequencies for most lifestyles. By doing so, you really have a chance to catch any infection as early as possible. So as soon as that incubation period is up, you really have, you know, within a month or two, you will be able to detect that if you screen periodically. So these are kind of the two approaches that we have designed, and we really are excited to offer them to customers here in the U.S.
This seems to me like a great way to like take your health into your own hands in a way that might be a lot more accessible for people. Because like I was an HIV prevention counselor and tester for many years, and that's a fairly vexing experience for a lot of people just to go even get tested, much less get the result. There were definitely plenty of people who got tested who never came back for their results, and there seemed to be a lot of like shame and fear and anxiety, like regardless of what, you know, the turnout was going to be, the process itself seemed to be anxiety provoking. And I, of course, would definitely encourage somebody to have like an HIV prevention counselor experience just so they can talk about ways of reducing risk. But like, I could really see how this might encourage somebody to do something that they otherwise wouldn't, which is just simply even get tested. Like, is that part of the idea behind it, or was this just to like, you know, busy lifestyles? Like, what motivates this?
Absolutely. We really, I mean, when we were initially brainstorming and came up with the idea of MyLab, we really felt there was a huge disconnect, you know, in terms of not only treatment, but also finding out if your status. There is a huge need, you know, in terms of the counseling. It's a vital part of our model as well, because we really don't want to cover the entire spectrum from testing to treatment. We really focus on the testing part, but we really feel this is a very valuable tool, A, for patients, and B, for counselors, to give them a little more privacy, give them a bit of a peace of mind, and then really come in where it counts the most. So when you have that positive, be there and offer them support. So what MyLab is really kind of doing is we're taking over the testing part. We're empowering the user to step out the door and find out what their status is without that fear of judgment or that discomfort. And then certainly once they know, they are now in a position to take care of the next steps, find treatment, get advice, get counseling.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, I mean, part of what we really tried to do here, you know, after just talking, you know, incessantly with people about their hurdles, is to really remove all of those hurdles and as you say, that shame and just, you know, awful experience usually of going into a lab or going into a clinic, and then of course the inconvenience of that and making it really convenient, but also just making it something that is very much just part of your lifestyle. So we try to kind of strip the clinical out of it. We, you know, have a conversation about safe sex, have, you know, great information, engaging information, and something that shows up that's colorful. And it's not something that's like, oh my God, this is a medical device it's literally, you know, just some very basic tools and, you know, you do it in a few minutes and it's not, you know, that experience of getting five vials of blood drawn.
This seems to also fit into a direction that healthcare possibly might be going anyway, of like this sort of seeing a doctor like digitally, being able to take care of health stuff without taking half a day off of work to like just go and do basic things. Yeah, like I'm really hoping that we can do more and more, because like I can't even explain. Like little stuff, like I have to go just see like a dermatologist. I'm just going to TMI right now. I have to go to a dermatologist. And it's like I literally have to map out 3 hours because I have no idea how long it's going to take, and like just the drama. And I just have to sit there in a terrible waiting room while they play whatever music they feel like playing, and I can't escape it. And their books are terrible. I'm just going to cry about it.
Yeah. They're 3 months old.
Yeah, like I can't even fathom how much I would prefer a medical intervention. Where, I mean, now obviously there is the other side, which is like, as you mentioned, like we still want people to get that other education piece. We want people to get that counseling piece, and we want people to have conversations with their doctors. And obviously, in person is the way that that's going to be easiest for a lot of things to come up, but. The number of doctors who never discuss sexuality with their patients,
it's incredible.
It's appalling.
Yeah, all the studies that like teenagers, you know, how much of your doctors discuss sexual health with you, and the answer was like almost nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really so,
and they make a lot of assumptions too, you know, just based on your marital status, which I don't think is, you know, the right thing to do. Yeah. So I mean, I was married for a number of years, and I don't think my gynecologist ever asked me if I had ever been tested.
Yeah. Or the number of folks who go in and because of their gender, like there are all these assumptions made. Well, you're a girl. Why aren't you on birth control? And then you have to come out to your doctor, and you know, just all these sort of things that it's like unnecessary.
One thing I will say too is just in an annual exam, it's really important, and we try to give information too about you know what to test for and you know what is the most common because. Oftentimes, when you just ask your doctor to test you for STDs, they are going to definitely test you for chlamydia and gonorrhea and maybe HIV.
Mm-hmm. And then there were also like some places for a while where you had to ask specifically for HIV, and like almost nobody gets tested for herpes.
Less than half of U.S. adults have ever tested for anything other than HIV, and that's anybody between the ages of 18 to 45. So, I mean, even when you do ask to get tested for everything, you oftentimes just don't know because you rarely see those results at the end of the game. So it's really important for people to be educated about their health themselves and really kind of take that driver's seat and understand here's the top infections that I'm at risk for and here's what I really should be testing for and yes I have the right to see my results and I shouldn't have to wait for 2 weeks to maybe get a phone call that tells me if I'm okay or not and we really think that the first step is educating and also be empowering people to be in the driver's seat and know what's best for their health
right and also make it easy so that they don't have to know everything. But they know that they are testing for, you know, the most prevalent diseases on a regular basis.
And do you have plans to make other tests available? Like, for instance, like, would somebody be able to get a herpes test through my lab? Or maybe in the future?
Yes. So we are essentially going out the door with these four tests, mainly because they are also the most common. And of course, HIV being the one that most people fear. However, you know, important piece of this is that they're all treatable. I mean, at least the three most common, all very treatable when caught early. And even HIV, if it's detected very early, can at least be treated, with the others being very curable. So we're working on the possibility of a few different versions of the chlamydia and gonorrhea testing that will serve the gay community better. So that's the first piece that we're working on rolling out. And then also we are working on the possibility of syphilis. That's a big one that a lot of the various communities have been asking for. So those are the couple that are on our roadmap. We also do have an international program that includes a full 9-panel all instant tests. So that's a program that we're working on rolling out in the UK to start.
Okay. I'm curious, and, you know, answer this however you feel comfortable doing so, but what brings the two of you to my lab and to your passion and your interest about this? Like, professionally, personally, what makes this important to you? Why do you think that this is a valuable thing to be involved in? Whoever wants to go first.
Sure, absolutely. Well, in terms of me personally, I was born and raised in Europe, and I grew up during kind of the boom of HIV awareness advertising. So, you know, as a teenager and growing up, I was really bombarded by kind of the need for safe sex, and both in a comedic way and in a serious way. So coming to the U.S. in my 20s and spending most of my dating years here in the States, I was really appalled by the low number of men that ever admitted to testing. By low number, I mean zero. These are highly educated men who have very successful careers for the most part, who just operate on this mode of, you know, oh, you know, I'm sure I'm fine. I don't have any, you know, I don't have any symptoms, or I tested last year and I was okay. So it really kind of has been something that has been a nagging discomfort for me for many years of dating. And then Ursula and I were having a conversation over coffee and just chatting about our lives. And Ursula, I'll kind of let you dive into that a little bit more. But we really kind of found that there was a common, you know, concern here between both of us.
Yeah, I think our experience was, my experience was I actually had been married for a number of years, and then I was back on the dating scene, and we were talking about, you know, the experience of dating and just this awkward conversation about STDs and just how archaic people tended to handle both the conversation and also just either sporadically testing or, as Laura said, like most of the time, just not testing on a regular basis. And then also, you know, here you are sitting there and basically, you know, operating on trust with somebody that, you know, you've maybe had a few dates with, because nobody's carrying around their paperwork in their back pocket. So that's also something that we've really aimed to change, is like, A, getting people to understand and giving them an easy way to test regularly, but also get electronic results that you can share very easily with somebody that, you know, you may be at that point where you're looking to get intimate with them. But yeah, I was actually, you know, not only appalled at, you know, how people were testing and how the conversations were going, but also just the total lack of education, you know, as we discussed earlier, from my doctor. Like, there were just half these things I didn't even know about, you know, until, you know, we really dove in and you know, we started to bring, you know, some medical experts onto our team. It was just appalling to me when I started to educate myself about STDs, how little I actually knew.
It would be, like, it's fascinating. I'm getting this, like, little image in my head of, like, what if the culture of dating was, all right, so we've gone on a few dates, like, you know, like, I'm interested in, like, seeing where this goes and that sort of thing or whatever, and then you, like, you whip out your phone and you're like, just letting you know, this is a thing that I take seriously. And then, like, what if that were just, like, the normalized thing? You're like, hey,
it's so,
yeah,
that's exactly what we're going for. It's just, you know, it's a very easy, it's like, here, you know, here it is, you know, here are my results. And ultimately also making it easy enough and fast enough where you could do it together with a partner if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very rare, and it's only the, you know, the very, very responsible. And I've never had this experience where, you know, people will actually go into a clinic together, but the logistics of that is just, you know, not probable.
Yeah.
So, you know, just having the kit there and just like, hey, let's do it. You know, have a glass of wine, do it in 15 minutes and you're done.
And then, you hook up and then you're like, wait, now we got to do that again. Then we got to do more testing. So who do you think this is most appealing to? Who do you think of when you're like, we need to get this out to people? Like, who comes to mind? Who is this most useful for?
We really think there's a few groups in terms of our audience that are the key. Certainly, people are very young, very active in their younger ages. So around in their teens to early 20s, we see a lot of activity. They're still not in a place where they're necessarily earning or having a job. A lot of them are still in college. So for that group, we're working on putting together some kind of college programs that could be part subsidized with schools that will allow us to distribute the kits to a younger audience in schools. The next group from that is really the young professionals. So, I mean, really you're looking at ages between 25 to about 45 that are extremely highly active. And also, those are usually the people that are able to understand the value of taking control of their own health and being able to do so. The next group up from that, we've noticed a significant increase in terms of infection rates. Viagra is one of the reasons that I've heard in terms of a blame for this phenomenon. I've also heard 50 Shades of Grey is to blame for the increase in the STDs amongst the older demographic. But we really have a broad spectrum here of people between 18 to 54 or older that could really benefit from a solution like this, depending on their lifestyle and where they are with it.
All right. So basically everybody.
Everybody. I mean, anybody, think about it. Anybody who is dating, who is sexually active, should know their status. And no matter what age you start or what age you end, this is something that you're never going to be immune to. Not knowing, unless you really don't care about your life and those of people around you, is something that it should not be acceptable in this day and age. When technology is there, the resources are there for you to test.
And also with the prevalence of a lot of different demographics dating online, we found that actually statistically you're 3 times more likely to get an STD dating online. So it's actually more of a problem and something to be more concerned about. I mean, if you just think of it statistically, right? You're meeting more people, you're being intimate with more people, you're going to be more likely to contract something. So,
and also just sort of like expanding outside of your existing network as well, because that's always been sort of a thing in terms of the pathology of any illness, is like that pockets will end up with higher rates just because of the people with whom you come in contact. And then when you factor in like a Tinder or Grindr or some sort of hookup app or something like that, and all of a sudden you're no longer like meeting people at the place where you go, or it's no longer through friends or whatever, you're just going to be exposed to a wider variety of things that you might not have otherwise.
Yeah, statistically speaking, and that's kind of one of the scary numbers that we came across early on, is your chance of contracting an STD are 3 times higher if you use online dating. So irregardless of what that site may be, just the kind of utilization of an online dating service makes you significantly at higher risk here. And add to that the other statistic piece, which kind of shocked us, was that 1 of every 2 U.S. adults will contract an STI at some point in their lives. We really see kind of a potential for a very significant impact between online dating and our current kind of status across the board. Presently, we have 110 million U.S. adults that live with a viral STD in the U.S., and that is about 1/3 of our population, just to kind of put it into context for everybody that's listening to this and may not know these kind of scary numbers. But again, we really are trying to approach this from a position of positivity and empowerment. We really don't want to hit people over the head with here's why it's important and here's all the scary risks out there. But it is something that they should be aware of. And even though we want them to test for the reasons of their own personal peace of mind and empowerment, we also, to some extent, want them to be aware of the fact that this is a serious danger for their health.
And I would also like to just sort of have a little conversation about like why there's so much like shame around this particular health situation. Mm-hmm. Because like, for instance, you know, flu comes around every year and people get the flu, and flu is, you know, a thing that you're going to get from being in contact with other people. It is somewhat avoidable. There are some things you can do to prevent it, but like ultimately these things happen if you're just going to be a person in the world and you're not going to like Howard Hughes away in your house and like never like touch anybody or something. But we have just like this whole squeamishness about, you know, like the type of people that would contract an STI and like what that does to your entire life once you've ever been that particular type of sick. But we don't have that kind of stigma around all the other health issues that are basically caught in the same way, which is like being around other people and being a social animal.
Right.
So
yeah, it's funny. Nobody says, you know, when you catch the flu, ooh, you must have not been washing your hands very often. You know, nobody kind of has that mentality. Maybe they should, but you're right. It's there's some kind of assumptions here that come to mind naturally, which are for the most part very wrong. And I mean, in terms of anybody that has sex is at a risk. It doesn't matter if it's your first time, if you have it every other time, if you're married, your partner could, you know, bring something into the home. You can be anybody and really still, it's kind of like no matter how safe you play, it's just by the nature, as you said, of being around other people and interacting with them.
Yeah, and I think there's just this illusion, and I think it has a lot to do with our puritanical roots, you know, about sexuality and sex in general. And so I think we just tend to have a lot of shame around the entire subject matter altogether. But I think there's an illusion that, you know, this is just about being, you know, promiscuous or irresponsible. And, you know, as Laura said, like anybody can get an STI, and it, you know, it doesn't mean that you are promiscuous or irresponsible. And also a lot of people just don't even know all the different ways that you can contract an STD. So they may think, you know, well, we used a condom, but, you know, I did X, Y, and Z. Well, that X, Y, and Z can also, you know, contract an STD, and they just don't know. So I think there's just a certain lack of knowledge, too, that people have around the subject. And you know, that's something that we're also just trying to aim to solve, is just to give people an understanding of, you know, hey, you got to test regularly, and you know, it's not something to be ashamed of.
And I think a lot of times people think STDs are diseases of the vagina and the penis only, and they're not. You know, any part of your body that interacts with another person's part of their body could be, you know, could take an infection and could, you know, expose you. Mm-hmm. So if that's probably the easiest way to explain it, but you can, you know, it's not just about, you know, straight sex. It's not just about, you know, your sex organs that you need to protect. I mean, oral sex can expose you to STDs, a lot of other things in that mix. So it's really important to understand that, especially any kind of activity, however, how innocent it may seem to you, you know, is still potentially putting you at risk.
And so now that we are all gung-ho and excited and we all want to go get tested, how can people get a hold of you? Where can they get your products? Like, tell us more.
Visit us online. Our website is mylabbox.com, and you can learn a little bit more about the product offerings that we have and look at the kits that we have available. We have done our best to really simplify things, so you can just ultimately see what you test for right away, or just are directed to one of our subscription options. And that's the best way to order our products. We are also on Facebook, on Twitter. So if you also sign up for our email list, we will make sure that you are the first to know when new products launch. But even just liking us on Facebook or following us on Twitter, we are fairly active to share news about our company. So we look forward to hearing from everybody. I hope you are gung-ho at this point. I think we are very excited about what we're bringing to the market. It's the first service of its kind to be able to offer that to customers here, not only in the U.S., but abroad as well. And we're very excited about that. Yay. We are gung-ho about STDs.
That's so exciting. Yay, let's all get tested right now.
Let's get tested.
We'll have a testing party. We'll have a clothing swap /
Actually, I really like that idea.
So there you go. Take that. Run with that. Have one. That'd be great. Everybody, go organize your own clothing swap / testing drive. That'll be great. So I want to thank Laura and Ursula, both co-founders of MyLab, so much. Thank you for coming on today and having this great conversation about this really important topic.
Thanks, Timmarie, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to do so. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a fantastic day.
You too. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmarie. Sex with Timmarie, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmarie.com, Sex with Timmarie on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmarie_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.